Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everybody? Happy hump day to you. It is the Cave Show. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Hopefully everyone having a good Wednesday, and that dramatically was terrible. I meant to say I hope everyone is having a fantastic Wednesday. And we have some things to talk about. The NBA final start tomorrow. AB, voluntary camp, and all the right things about the Raiders. Interested to see how that looks. The Cardinals keep saying Kyler Murray is fast. I think we already know that. Magic Johnson, I told you, the Lakers are like that gift that just keeps on giving. Magic on ESPN last night, still talking about the Lakers. Lakers dysfunction, and let's find out what's up with these Rockets. They're making CP3 available. That's all I'm going to say about that. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only, Monroe's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, Arizona, 4991 Alma School. That is the corner of, actually in the plaza on the corner of Alma School, Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. There are so many TVs on. I'm telling you, if you plan on watching one of the games, that is the place to watch one of the games. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Again, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off your cigar purchase. There are a couple of exceptions. No worries. There's so much good stuff in there, you'll never notice. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, out serving beer and wine. Yeah, so that, look, the Rockets are making players available. Let me save them some time. Make your coach available. Make your coach available. Make D'Antoni available. Listen, D'Antoni is a 100% incredible coach. He is a 100% incredible, incredible regular season coach. He's not the guy that's going to get you deep in the playoffs. He's not going to get you to the title game. I'm sorry, I feel that way. I think he's a great guy. I think he's done some magnificent things. I think the players that play for him will tell me I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've never coached in the NBA. They're 100% right that I've never coached in the NBA. I just, from the outside looking in, I don't see enough adjustments made on his end to be able to say, well, this is the guy that's going to get us over the hump. Call-in number on the Cadillac, Elon, 917-889-7828. I see I do have a couple calls. I'm going to take the longest holding call first. Thank you for calling the Cave Show. This is PLR. And who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, as we mentioned, the NBA Finals start tomorrow. And they're already expecting Stephen Curry to win the Finals MVP.
Well, that's a little bit premature. Steph Curry really was the MVP of the first time. I mean, let's just stop kidding ourselves. I know Andre Iguodala played well and he disrupted what Cleveland did. I understand it. Steph Curry should have been MVP the first go around. He really should have been. Look, Andre Iguodala did a great job on LeBron James. And I'm not talking LeBron James now that I always accuse of not playing great defense or playing both ends of the floor all the time. I'm talking about LeBron James. This was 5 years younger. That was all over the place. And that averaged a triple-double and had this team in competitive games without Kyrie Irving, who had hurt his kneecap. Those weren't just numbers, triple-doubles. Those were actual, factual, you know, high assists, high points, high rebounds on every single night. And he got a finals MVP for, I guess, slowing him down from stopping him from getting a quadruple-double. I guess that was Steph's. Last year should have been Steph's. So I can see them inserting him as the finals MVP because as long as he plays well and they win, that's going to be the sympathetic. We should have gave it to you before, so we're going to give it to you now.
Yeah.
So I
but
can see that.
Yes, you know, I just think it's too premature. I mean, the finals haven't even started yet. They're going to declare him MVP. So just have to wait and find out.
It's all betting, though, Lou. It's not about anything other than betting. You can gamble on anything now. You can gamble on coin tosses at the Super Bowl. They're basically Vegas has laid the odds on who's going to be the MVP, and
yes.
There's a story about it. That's really all it is. This is all betting.
Yeah, of course, it depends on who you trust, too. I mean, because there's a thousand of sports books out there now, and, you know.
Hey, bet the one who, right now, if someone had Kyle Lowry as the MVP and he was going off at 20-1, take the bet. You're going to throw $50 away no matter what anyway. Take the bet.
Yeah, maybe we'll go Westgate.
Yep, take the bet.
Yeah, Westgate's probably the smart one.
So that's why.
Yeah. And they have the referees to start the finals, and they're both rookies. Ooh, boy, this is going to get ugly.
Nah, you know what? Honestly, I think it was pretty cool for the NBA to say who it was when they really didn't have to. I mean, there's really no need for the NBA to announce who the refs are going to be. In all honesty, I don't even want to know who the refs are until they're announced at the start of the game. Because then you go in with preconceived notions about how the game is going to be ref. I mean, the fact that we know who Scott Foster is in some ways is a bad thing anyway. So we know who refs are. We know how they're going to call games. And here's the thing. Players know how refs call games. And you adjust to the way that they call the games. Back in the day, Dick Pavetta, Earl Strom, those guys, they Hugh Evans, they adjust to the way that the game is played. Professional athletes are really, really good. And they make adjustments.
I know, but, you know, these guys are rookies that are calling the finals, and, you know, rookies, you know, make mistakes. So I'm just wondering what this could turn into. This could be a fiasco.
Well, veteran refs make mistakes.
Yeah, but rookies make more.
Yeah, but you know what? You know why they're veteran refs reffing the game otherwise? Because they used to be a rookie ref. you got to cut your teeth somewhere. Everyone that has, when they say, 125 games playoff experience, well, they had to have one before they got the other 124. So when do you put a rookie in to ref? When these guys are 90 and can't get up and down the court anymore?
No, of course not.
So you gotta infuse those other refs in there. Again, the best way to know a ref is not know the ref. You know, the Joe West is still calling games in baseball, probably, I think, because he wants to set a record for baseball games called. Have you seen Joe West move? Joe West doesn't move. It looks like his hips are bad. His knees are bad. You know, he's up in age. He's up in weight. Joe West shouldn't
How
be up in games anymore. Old.
Well, like, what's
That's when you're old. Too old to be reffing up in games. I was just working a D-backs game during that last homestand, and Joe West was working a game at first base. And one of the guys who works up in the press box for MLB, well, let me take it back. He wasn't working. He was up in the press box, and he worked for MLB. I was like, is that Joe West still calling it? Joe West is so old, he was in the Naked Gun movies.
Oh.
He's 66 years old.
Well, it's not terribly old.
It is old when you can't move.
That's true.
He can't move. When he's behind a plate, big deal. When he has to go on the first baseline to see if a ball is fair or foul, that's not good. When he's at second base, he's got to get in a position if someone is stealing. That's not good. So my point, though, is, at some point, Joe West wasn't Joe West. He was a rookie. So you got to let him do the game. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But he's been around for over 40 years. Joe West.
Well, if you've been around for 40 years, you obviously are doing something right.
Yeah, you get a nice paycheck. Real quick update, Chelsea is up on Arsenal 1-0 in the UEFA Europe League. I have no issue with that. Not with the NBA Finals. I have no issue with that.
And the Women's World Cup is next week.
I'm sorry?
The Women's World Cup is next week.
Oh, I know. It's going to be great. USA all the way.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people might be thinking, oh, why do we care? Look, it's a major tournament, so yeah, I do have some interest in it.
Well, yeah, and let's be honest. If we want to watch someone have a chance at winning, watch the Women's World Cup. Our men don't stand a chance.
No.
USA Soccer, to gain popularity, you better watch the women play because they win.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
well, at least with the men, I got Italy and I got Mexico to back me up.
There you go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Italy didn't qualify this year, last year, and Mexico just floundered.
Hey, my man, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I know, but my sister-in-law is not happy about that.
I hear you, buddy.
Yeah. And I'm of Italian descent, so I wasn't happy with that then, not qualifying either.
No, I know. That's really odd, too, because usually Italy puts out a very good soccer team.
Where were you in 1982 when they won the World Cup?
In 1982, I was 13, and I was watching football and basketball and baseball. I wasn't watching soccer at all.
Yeah.
I think
okay, so you're just about a year older than I am. So, you know, but it was all over the 6 o'clock news and whatever, and, you know, it was celebrating Little Italy, and it's like, oh, man, this is a scene. This is incredible.
Yeah.
And then when they won in 2006, you know, finally Italy got it. Ugh.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
No, when I was 13, I was watching that, and I was watching the USFL the year that Herschel Walker came into the league and was playing for the New Jersey Generals.
I was there.
So, yeah, no.
I was. I don't know if I was at the same game you were at, but I was there.
So tell me this. Who do you have in the finals? Give me the games. I'm getting your tally now. I'll give mine. I've already given it 8,000 times, but I'll go officially on the record tomorrow. Who do you have winning the finals?
I think I'm going to go with Toronto. I think with KD now out now with two games, I think they're going to be a little bit more vulnerable, and that this might be a chance for Toronto to outstage them.
Very interesting.
But it's going to go the distance. This is not going to be a cakewalk for either team. No way.
Well, I hope it does go seven games. That's more basketball. I'm always down with more
hoops. Exactly. I mean, if you're thinking this is going to be like, oh, well, it's going to be a short series. It's going to be 4 or 5 games. No, not this time.
Very interesting, my friend. Well, listen, what else do you got for me before I jump? I say I got to call the calls on hold.
Oh, okay, then I'll just go to your calls. Besides that, we're getting a storm coming in. I got to close the window. So we'll leave it at that.
All right, my man.
All right,
hopefully
Paul,
talk
thanks.
To you. Hey, oh, listen, Lou.
Yes.
Tomorrow,
yes.
We're gonna have a live show. It'll be a weird time. Not sure yet, but during this time, there'll be a best of. The Suns actually start their pre-draft workouts, and there is a coverage of that at 12:30. So I'm doubting very seriously I make it back studio to be here at 1 because I'm covering. I'll be there.
Well,
for
I have
sound
another
interview.
I do at 5 o'clock my time anyway, so I think it's a good call.
So yeah, so tune if you get a chance to tune in. If you hear me live, I'm here. If not, then you'll hear me taped.
Right. Yeah, because I have another show I'm involved in tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock my time. So I don't know if it'll make it or not. But thanks for the warning anyway.
All right, buddy. Well, have a good rest of your hump day.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy. All right. Always good to catch up with friend of the program, Lou. Got another caller online, Carrie Lackey Lawline. Thank you for calling The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Who do I have the privilege of speaking with? Hello, caller. Are you there? Looks like we lost our caller. Got one more on hold. Hang on with me one second. Just want to finish the thought about the Rockets that I was doing before. Before Lou called in, like I said, I don't think the Rockets are the perfect team for Mark Jackson to take over. The perfect team. Because you need a guy who can instill some defense and the best player at the critical times. And a guy who will value more shots than just what is a good analytical shot. We just watched the Toronto Raptors get to the NBA Finals with their best player whose game revolves around the mid-range. If that doesn't throw shade on all those analytical people that say, Daryl Morey, that thinks the only way you can win is to shoot 1,000 threes, only shoot layups, and only shoot twos. It honestly is the dumbest thinking in the world. The Golden State Warriors have two snipers in the backcourt. And they have Kevin Durant. And they shoot twos. There is nothing wrong with the mid-range game. Nothing wrong with the mid-range game. It makes you better. Completely better. In the clinching game, when Toronto eliminated Milwaukee, Milwaukee fired off 34 threes and only hit 12 of them. And granted, Toronto hit 12, they fired off 27. But if you're not going to hit threes at a 35, 40% clip, why? Why are you shooting them? Kawhi Leonard was 9 of 22, but 1 of 8 from the three. At some point, it's like, why are you still shooting threes? He was 8 of 14 on twos. There comes a point where it's just a diminishing return. Now, I'm not saying don't shoot threes. I'm not an idiot. I'm not saying that. But you have to embrace the two-point game at some point. And Houston just don't do it. And I don't understand why they think a 15-foot shot is a bad shot when it's a wide-open shot. You will literally see the Houston Rockets run from the 15-foot open jump shot and dribble back to take a contested shot. Let me say this again. They will have the ball 15 feet out and be open and dribble back to take a contested shot. I want someone to tell me where that's logical. I want someone to tell me where that's a better move. What makes that a better move? In the NBA Finals, shots are contested more. I'm going to go back to Portland and Golden State. And they're in the game four, the Golden State clinched and swept. Dame Dollar was 4 of 12 from the arc. Shot 11 of 24 for the game. Now I want you to do this math. That means he was 7 of 12 from 2. And you can say to me, well, he didn't shoot that bad from the arc. It was only 30%. Let me say it to you one more time. He was 11 of 24. Take off those threes, he was 7 of 12. They're not all dunks. They're not all layups. A mid-range game can help. It can open up things for you to get to the rim. Could you imagine if James Harden was just a threat to shoot a 15-footer? Just a threat? Could you imagine if he moved without the ball? Not, hey, I'm a little tired right now. Let me throw this over to CP3. I'll let him do work, and I'm going to steal my rest. A couple defensive possessions, a couple offensive possessions, and I can play longer. Come on now. This is why Houston doesn't do well. This is why Houston all of a sudden has made everybody tradable. Except James Harden. Here's the problem. You owe Chris Paul a gazillion dollars, and he's old, and he breaks down. For you to get a team to take that contract, you're going to have to give up a lot. And think about it. You're a playoff team, so your picks aren't as valuable. It's not like you're going to wind up in a lottery somewhere. Your picks are just not that valuable. Because you are not a bad team. As long as James Harden could be on that team with me being the coach, and I couldn't mess up a playoff run. Not with Clint Capella and the rest of them cats. But moving on from CP3, it makes sense. Or if you don't move on to CP3, how about this, Daryl Morey? How about not moving on from CP3, but moving on from Mike D'Antoni and getting a coach that will put some real movement in the offense, make James Harden accountable for his offense and his defense? How about that? Just a thought. Just spitballing. Just throwing stuff up. If you don't make him accountable, he's Carmelo Anthony. Great career. Hall of Famer. One of the best offensive threats ever. But you have to make him accountable. I just don't get it. I think I'm the only person that's still not sold on D'Antoni getting you far. I just don't see the adjustments. I just don't see it. I've never seen him hold anyone accountable on a defensive end. I've heard people say it. I've got friends that have worked with D'Antoni that swear by him. I have friends that have covered D'Antoni, swear by him. I'm just not sold. I'm not. And listen to me again very carefully. I'm not saying he can't coach. I think he's an excellent coach. I just think when a playoff starts, like anything in life, there are those that are better than others. And there are those that can make changes and excel past the others. And I just don't think Mike D'Antoni is one of those guys that makes others excel past. You know what? Budenheimer outcoached who I think is one of the best coaches in the NBA. And when Milwaukee beat Boston, I didn't see that coming. But then when Toronto played Milwaukee, I didn't see any adjustments made. I just didn't. I saw Nick Nurse make adjustments. See, what you do in the regular season is building a personality. But that personality has to really be a culture. And whatever you do, everyone has to be able to fit into that culture and make it work. That's why Steve Kerr can say, okay, well, we lost Cousins. Okay, we'll play this way. Oh, wait, what? Now we're out Cousins and Durant? Okay, well, we're going to play this way. Oh, we had an 8-man rotation? Okay, now let's make it a 10-man rotation. Let's make an 11-man rotation. Let's bring in the Cooks and the Loonies who played anyway. Let's bring in all these other people, and let's all make this work. Because, see, he makes adjustments because he saw Pop coach. He saw Phil coach. He saw all this, and he was making these adjustments left and right on the fly to make sure that everyone is put in a position to succeed. And when they get in that position, it's not strange to them. They step right in and they embrace it and they just keep the train moving. There are very few coaches in the league that can do that. It's funny because when you watch and he's throwing in guys that you're like, wait a second, where did this guy come from? I didn't know he could play. And then he goes to another team and he can't play. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. He can't play. Yeah, he can play. But Steve Kerr found a way in his system to make him look great. Steve Kerr had JaVale McGee, who people were laughing at. JaVale McGee, let's just cut the crap. He was a laughing stock with a lot of people in the NBA. But he looked great at Golden State. That's not an accident. I still think Brad Stevens is a better coach than Budenheimer. I look at his ATOs. They are incredible. The problem is, this is the first time he had to manage an NBA ego and Kyrie Irving. See, and when I say NBA ego, I'm talking the upper echelon of the NBA players and their egos. See, go with me with this. I'm not saying easy, like you push that easy button. That was easy. Not saying that. What I'm saying is, when you get a Terry Rozier that's playing to prove, Marcus Smart playing to prove, Al Horford who can just glue guy all-star that can just fit with anything you put, any situation you put him in, a young Jason Tatum coming up, you can get all of them to rally around because there's no failure then. You lost Irving, you lost Gordon Hayward, there's no failure. There is no failure then at that point. They got eliminated in the first round. There's no failing. Second round, no failing. Conference final, no failing. You didn't even have a star. Your quote-unquote best players were hurt. There is no expectation. They're playing loose, house money. Now there's expectation. Now. You got to let this guy know who's playing for a contract, and Terry Rozier is playing to prove that he's belonging, that he is better than the guy that you're putting in place of him. And now you're telling him he can only have a couple minutes. And you have to manage a personality like a Kyrie Irving, a guy that's won a title, that's already in his personality has shown that he thinks he's better than anyone, and it should be that way. But you then have to manage your personalities better. That was the first time he was put in that position where he had a true NBA superstar that he had to manage a personality and make it mesh. A lot different. So I don't think it was about the coaching X and O's with him. Where I think he failed this season was managing personalities. But if you're asking me to pick the three best coaches in basketball, I'll say the four best coaches in basketball. It's going to be Steve Kerr, Popovich, Doc Rivers, and Stevens. And you're not getting me off that. Not getting me off that at all. The Lakers are a gift that keeps on giving when you do sports talk radio. Magic went on to clarify everything again because there was a report written, article from ESPN that talked about how he was abusive to employees and yada, yada, yada. And man, look, let me go ahead and tell you this real quick. I don't care who you are. If you're running a company, there's someone that don't like you. Just say something. You could be the greatest boss ever, greatest owner ever. There's someone that don't like you. And if this is something Magic didn't want to do, I have no issue with him stepping down. The only thing I will say, it does look like Magic needs to let this one go. I don't think Magic will ever get booed at Staples. I don't think Magic will ever have to worry about his reputation as a Laker. I don't think Magic will ever have to worry about anything like that whatsoever. His place is cemented in the history of the NBA. But Magic needs to get off of this. On that ESPN final special last night, the first 10 minutes was Magic talking about Magic and the Lakers, and Lakers and this and that. Magic. I'm talking about, well, after this, I'm not going to say anything else until after the draft. Look, you didn't even have to say that. Hey, look, guys, I'm done with the Lakers. I said all I was going to say. There's a lot of stories out there. I don't have to. I'm Magic Johnson. I don't have to talk about any other stories that's going on. And that would be fine. Got to stop explaining Magic, because the more you explain, the more it comes across like you're just worried about what people are thinking about you. Look, it's funny because the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers. Right now, the Clippers are ran better than the Lakers. It's a better organization, better coach. I'm not throwing dirt on Jeannie Buss, but right now, Ballmer, who's worth, you know, a gazillion dollars, is showing the structure and what's needed to be a good sports owner. Right now, he's not a better owner, but he's owning the team better. And still, the Lakers still have more cash and swagger in that city. And it's like that in every city with two teams. The Yankees could suck for the next 7 years. And the Mets could win a World Series in the next 7 years. But if the Yankees come back in that eighth season and win one, it will overshadow the last seven of the Mets. Let the White Sox win a World Series. It'll be great. City of party. Let the Cubs win another World Series. Oh, people will lose their mind. Because there's a difference when you're the second fiddle. Remember when the Angels were the Anaheim Angels and then they became the California Angels, or vice versa? The California Angels became the Anaheim Angels. And people go, oh, the California Angels, I wonder where they play. Oh, they play at Anaheim. Oh, suburb. Okay. And then they went to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, or whatever. They're like, why are they doing that? Because they figured if they threw LA on a name, it would give them more cachet. They could throw whatever they want a name. The Dodgers are the team in LA. Let me say that one more time. The Dodgers are the team in LA. And whenever there's a city with two teams, one team plays second, the other team is the primary. So the Lakers can mess it up. Lakers have the brightest star on their team, the biggest star on their team. They're still the Lakers. When you walk, like, I've been to a game there on the night the Clippers play, and you got some nice little banners and whatever. I don't even notice what they said. Care less. But when you walk in, and you walk in on a Lakers game, it is no joke. Banners, numbers, retired, everything. It is a big, big difference. So instead of blowing up everything just to prove that, you know, you were right, or it wasn't done a certain way, or let me save face because I'm Magic, just let it go. I'm not saying anything else about the Lakers. You're going to ask me about drafts after the draft? Fine, I'll answer that. You're going to ask me about this? Fine, I'll answer that. I'm not talking anymore about the Lakers and what happened. Me and Pelinka, me and Jeannie and all this. I'll tell you what's funny. Kobe's come out and said, I'm not recruiting. I'm not doing anything. I'm not touching this. My name is Bennett. I'm not in it. I'm not getting involved in this. What does that tell you when Kobe Bryant, the king, prince, and sire of Kobe-stan, as my man Amin El-Hassan says, won't even recruit for this team because he wants no part of this? He doesn't want his name associated with running Magic out. He doesn't want his name associated with being the ghost owner, the ghost GM, the ghost VP, basketball operation. He doesn't want any of that. It's a mess. But I bet you something. I bet you tonight the Lakers give us some more because they can't help themselves. They just keep on, keep on.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
So the Suns start their pre-draft camps tomorrow. So I have a lot of coverage for you over the next couple of days from that. Because of that, our shows are going to be thrown off a little bit. We will still be on at 1 o'clock. We'll have a best of show running for sure. But stay on our social media. So I can alert you to the times we'll be having the actual live show. And what I may be doing is doing the live show and then playing it as a best of show one day behind just for the rest of this week. Quick update, Chelsea is now up 4-1 on Arsenal in the 2018-19 UEFA Europa League. Had a lot of fun today. A lot of fun. Make sure you're following us on social media. Facebook fan page, the Twitter, Instagram, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with a K. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Looking forward to a lot of great content coming up, a lot of fun shows, the Lakers that'll keep giving, a lot of interviews, some sound bites, everything coming up soon from the Suns' pre-draft workouts. So until Friday Eve, this has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for spending time with me today. Talk to you tomorrow.